gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord.
Yes.
In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mom, and tell me what he's been to you.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand, as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we give you the highest. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. As we enter your gates, Lord, with thanksgiving, Father, we just say thank you, Father. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for healing us. Thank you for delivering us. Thank you, Father, for providing for us, Father. Everything that we have need of, Lord, we just thank you, Lord. And we give you the highest praise, my Father, for you're so worthy, Lord. You've done great things, my Father. You've done things that our eyes have not seen, nor have our ears heard, nor has it even entered into our hearts, Father, all the great and mighty things that you're doing, Father. And we praise you for that, Lord. We praise you, Father. We praise you, Lord. We give you the highest praise, my Father. There's none like you in all the earth, my God. None like you, Father. You're the only true and wise God, my Father. You're the apple of you're the beginning and the end. You're the Alpha and Omega. Hallelujah. You're the rose of Sharon, the pearl of great price. Awesome God, mighty God, the lily of the valley, the bright morning star. How great you are, Father. We give you glory. We give you honor. And we give you praise, Father. As we come, Lord, through the gates of thanksgiving and through the course of praise, Lord, we come unto this radio broadcast, my Father. And we say yes to your will, Lord. And yes to your way, Father. As you usher us into your very presence, my Father, we would ask, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, Father. You're the bread of heaven. Feed us, Lord, until we want no more. Here's our cup, Lord. Fill it up and make us whole, my Father. So, Lord, we thank you that we can come through the gates of thanksgiving, through the course of praise, through this radio broadcast, all the way behind the veil into your very presence, my Father God. And for that, Lord, we say thank you, that you have summoned us, all of us, under the sound of my voice, my Father, all the way through the gates of thanksgiving, the course of praise, the radio broadcast, all the way into your presence. So we take you up now, Father, on the invitation, and here we are, Father. You're the bread of heaven. Feed us, Lord. Fill us up, Lord, until we want no more. That is in all ways, Father, we're careful to give you all of the credit, all of the credit, all of the honor, all of the praise, Father. For this is your kingdom, the power and the glory, both now and forever. And once again, Lord, thank you for summoning us into your presence. To eat from the king's table. Now speak to our heart, Father. As wise as you as seem wise unto you. And once again, we give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In the precious name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We touch and agree. Yes, and so shall it be. Amen, amen, and amen. Hey, mighty men, mighty women of the Most High God, out there in radio land. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I wish y'all could see the big old smile on my face. Every time the Lord called us together on a Saturday, and it's a couple other times, that boy, I mean, I don't know, the joy of the Lord just come upon me. We do a Thursday night Bible study with Let's Go High Ministry. We do a prayer conference with the Divine Intervention Church here in the Bunker area, a prayer line. And every time I get on those lines with the people of God, boy, it's just something that come over me. It's the joy of the Lord, you know. and what God is summoning us and what God is doing in and through his people for the edifying of one another, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Glory to God. So I count it an honor and a privilege to join in with all of you to go all the way into the presence of our Father and just let him speak to us. You know, the Bible says the kingdom of heaven is like a king that great that gave a great banquet to his son, and he invited everybody to come. Hallelujah. That's kind of like what this is. You know, God is giving a great banquet for his son, Jesus, and he is inviting all of us, hallelujah, to come to that banquet, hallelujah. Can you imagine what kind of banquet that is? Hallelujah. That God's gift for his son. And just a regular king giving a great banquet is awesome. But I'm talking about, boy, the King of Kings. Hallelujah. The Most High God giving a banquet for his son, Jesus Christ, and inviting all of us, boy, to come to that banquet. Hallelujah. That's what this is. Hallelujah. So don't take it lightly. You know, hey, again, it's an honor and a privilege to come into your homes and your automobile through these radio waves. And just allow God to shower us with his love, hallelujah, with his grace, with his mercy, with his peace. Even if he had to reprove us or rebuke us or chastise or correct us, it's all done in love, glory to God, hallelujah. For what purpose, brother? To build us up, hallelujah. For what purpose he built us up? So that we can get our inheritance, brother. All of the kingdom of heaven that was prepared. This is the part I lack in that scripture, in Matthew 24:35. He said, come you who are blessed of your Father, and get your inheritance. Then it tells us what our inheritance is. All of the kingdom of heaven, and this is the part that I like, that was prepared for you, that was prepared for me, that was prepared for us, even before the foundation of the world. So y'all, let's go get some more of our stuff, hallelujah. Let's go get some more of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven in our hearts and in our lives and in our circle of influence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, listen, y'all, today we got a special guest on with us. You know, we got Evangelist Tarsha Clark from Let's Go High Ministry in Houston, Texas, under the leadership of my pastor, Pastor Lydia Owens. You know, powerful woman of God, powerful men and women of God who are under that ministry that God is raising up in this day and hour, Lord, to be to do exploits. Hallelujah. The Bible says God is looking 2 and 4 years. Looking for men and women that he can show himself strong on their behalf, boy. Hey, that's us. That's Let's Go High Ministry. That's Kingdom Life Fellowship Ministries. And that's all the other ministries that God is raising up in this hour for that purpose, boy. To rediscovering of his kingdom on earth and the reestablishment of that kingdom on earth. And, boy, I count it an honor and a privilege to be a part of Let's Go High Ministry under Pastor Lydia Owens once again and all other the members of that church, all of the citizens of the kingdom of heaven that's associated with that church. Hallelujah. That's a family of God, and God is raising up in this day and hour, boy, to take this good news to the ends of the earth. And the good news about us doing that, Jesus said this, hey, go into all the world and make disciples of all men, and teach them what I taught you, and lo, I'll be with you until the end of the age. So it's an honor and a privilege, y'all, you know. And I introduce to y'all, you know, Evangelist, once again, Evangelist Tarsha Clark with Let's Go High Ministry in Houston, Texas. Hallelujah. To allow God to use her to minister to us in this hour. Minister Clark, we thank you for your time and your patience with us and your accepting of the invitation and to just allow God to use you to speak into our hearts whatever he's given you. And right now, we're just going to turn the radio broadcast over into your hands and allow God to fill our cups and to speak to our hearts. So it's an honor and a privilege to have you on here with us today. So like I told you earlier, like the old folks used to say, let the Lord use you, baby. So the radio broadcast is in your hands.
Amen. Well, I appreciate the invitation to be on here, you know. There's no other place that I would rather be than in the will of God. And I honor my pastor, Lydia Owens, just for, you know, she's the great facilitator. Her connecting you and I together to be able to do this today, she knows how to get doors open. She knows how to connect this person, this spirit with this kindred spirit. And I appreciate and honor her for how she's always concerned about the people of God and concerned about the kingdom of God going forward. And as you said before you got started, you were excited about being on here and excited about being able to connect with God's people. And every time you have the opportunity to connect and to pour out of your spirit and to receive, there's an excitement that bubbles over. And that resonated with me because I feel the very same way, you know, that there's a joy that flows on the inside of me. And it all comes from the source of the Father and being in the Father's will. You know, the Bible says that the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, you know, but it's in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, you know. And so there's a certain righteousness, there's a certain joy, there's a certain peace that comes when you're under the umbrella and the covering of the kingdom of God, when you realize that you're a citizen of a different realm that maybe others don't have eyes to see. But God has, by his spirit and his grace and his mercy, has caused you to enter into another realm that the things of this world do not affect you in the same way that it may affect someone else. And so I'm grateful for the joy that is overflowing. You know, the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. And in these times, we're going to need strength. In these times, and, you know, I'm thinking about everything that happened this week and how, you know, all of the political uncertainty and all of the changes and the things that are going on in the world, and how for many people that's causing fear and anxiety and you know, for some people they're trembling. They don't know what the next year is going to look like. They don't know what the next 4 years are going to look like. And when you think about that from a carnal aspect or from a carnal mind, all of those emotions are logical. But, you know, the Bible says to not be carnally minded, because carnal minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And so there's a certain peace that I have within myself, despite everything that is going on around me. You know, when you begin to get into the spirit of God, in the realm of the kingdom of God, where he begins to rule and to reign, and you begin to live under his sovereignty and his authority, there's something in that doesn't exist outside of it, you know. And so it is imperative for us in this hour, as believers, as people of God, as those who say that we've been called and chosen to be the elect, to enter into that place. You know, the Bible says to seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and the rest shall be added. And, you know, before Jesus began to tell them that, you know, he said, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. Your Father in heaven knows that you need all of these things, you know, and if he's faithful to feed the birds, you know, and if he's faithful to clothe the lilies in the field, then how much more you than those who he's called and chosen and preordained and predestined before the foundations of the earth. And he said, don't worry about those things. Seek first the kingdom. You know, don't worry about what you're going to eat. Seek first the kingdom. Don't worry about what you're going to drink. Seek first the kingdom. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Seek first the kingdom. Don't worry about who's in the office, the political office of presidency. Seek first the kingdom. Don't worry about the programs that may be changed or the you know, the financial uncertainty that may come forth in the earth. Seek first the kingdom of God, and every single thing that you have need of is going to be added unto you. And so that's where we are as a people in this hour, I believe, is that God is trying to realign us and cause our priorities to shift where they're supposed to be. You know, even the church itself has been distracted by the things of this life, you know. And in one sense, it's understandable, right? Because, you know, trials and tribulation are what God causes us to go through as a body of Christ, to refine us and to purify us, that what is poured out of our spirit will be untainted, and that a people may be able to receive from what it is that comes out of us, and that it may be nourishment to their spirit, man, that they can grow. And so in order for us to be an untainted, pure vessel, God has to take us through the course of trials and tribulation, right? And oftentimes that doesn't feel good to the flesh. It doesn't feel good to the mind. It doesn't feel good, you know, to the emotions. And so because of that, and if we're short-sighted in our vision, we'll find ourselves succumbing to what all of that feels like instead of realizing the purpose of why it is that God has ordained for us to go through that. And so now we have a body of Christ who has succumbed under the pressure of what trials and tribulation feels like. And so now they're trying to seek, an avenue of escape in things that God has never ordained for us to find escape in. You know, the only refuge that we're supposed to find is in the Spirit of God, in the realm of the kingdom. He's our shelter. He's our refuge. He's our buckler. He's our shield. He's our strength, right? But because we don't know how to get what it is that we have need of in our inner man, and because the things of this world are more convenient and easily accessible than the things of the Spirit, we find ourselves discounting the things of the Spirit and cleaving towards the things of the carnal. And because of that, you have a body of Christ who have been watched asleep, that they're not praying like they're supposed to be praying. They're not in the Word like they're supposed to be in the Word. They're not seeking God like they're supposed to. They're not turning over the plate. These are all the things that God has instructed us to do so that the natural man of us may decrease and that he may increase in us. But because we have lost sight of the vision and the purpose of what it is that God has called and ordained for us to be, we find ourselves no different than those who say that, you know, they put no confidence in who God is. The Bible says this. Jesus told them, his disciples, that unless your righteousness exceeds those of the Pharisees, then basically it's in vain. And so, you know, the same instruction he gave to his disciples is the same instruction that we have in this hour, that accept our righteousness. And what do I mean by that? That our condition in the Spirit, except it be, you know, in a state that is well-pleasing unto God, then it's no different than those who say that they are not trusting in God, that they're not dependent on God. It's no different than those who are caught up in religious order or who are following rules and ordinances and traditions. It's no different, right? And so God is calling a people in this hour to go back to their first love. You know, in Revelation, when the angel began to speak to the church, he said, one, that I find a fault in, that you're not neither hot nor cold, that you're lukewarm. And because you are lukewarm, then I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Right. And so there's a regurgitation that comes when we don't find ourselves in a place of being hot and cold, that we're lukewarm, that we're watched to speak, that we become comfortable in the things of this life. And we're just blending in and being ordinary. God has never called us to be ordinary. He called us a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, you know, a holy nation, supposed to be separated and set apart, and not in a way of arrogance that I think that I'm better than somebody, but in a way that I know who I am. I know what I've been purposed and designed and created for, right? And I'm not going to allow the circumstances that are outwardly to deter and dictate who I am. You know, the thing that this generation lacks, in my personal spiritual opinion, the most is that we have no sense of purpose. We have no sense of identity, right? And when you don't know why you've been created, when you don't know what it is that you've been formed and fashioned for, why you're existing in the earth, even in this present day, you find yourself giving yourself over to any and everything, anything that seems to bring some sense of satisfaction, because all of us intuitively have a longing within our spirit for the more of God. We might not be able to put a finger on it. We might not be able to explain what it all means and what it all feels like, but there's something intuitively in the creation that God has created that has a longing for God. I remember before I even got saved at the age of 18, I would be 16 years old, and there was, you know, I was one who wasn't raised in the church, right? I came, you know, and that's a lot of young people in this hour. They're not being raised in the church because they've become disillusioned with what the church is. They're you know, dissatisfied with what the church is presenting. And so they find themselves walking away from the church. But the longing for God never goes away. you may remove yourself from the church, the institution of what church is, because it has disappointed you, but the longing for the Spirit of God never leaves you. And so I found myself at the age of 16, you know, beginning to, in nighttime before I would go to bed, I would just pray. And I would pray, and I didn't even really understand what it was that I was saying or what it was that I was asking for. But there was something in me that said, I just need to talk to God. I just need to ask God for forgiveness. I don't even know what I'm doing wrong. I don't even have the power to change my present life and to do anything even holier than what I'm doing. But I just need to call out to God. There was something intuitively in my spirit that caused me to cry out unto God. And because I did that, God began to form something in my life that even my mind couldn't fully comprehend what was happening. And so 2 years, 3 years, 4 years later, when I began to get saved and begin to the eyes of my understanding began to become open, you know, I began to see that God was with me even from the very beginning. Even when I didn't realize that he was with me, he was with me. You know, and even as God began to tell Jeremiah that before I created you in the womb, before I formed you in the belly, I ordained you to be a prophet. Yeah. You know, before we were ever put on flesh, before I ever became Tarsha Clark, before my mother ever named me, my father ever named me, what it was that I was named, there was something that was predestinated for my life. And there was a purpose that God had for me before the foundations of the earth. And now what I'm doing is just walking into that purpose, right? And so we have a generation now that doesn't have a sense of identity. They don't have a sense of purpose, but there's yet a longing that is within them. And because there's a longing for something that is greater than who they are, they find themselves giving themselves over to anything that seems powerful, right? And so that's why you have a whole young generation that's filled with gang life, right? Because gang life is more powerful than my individual self. I don't know that I need God, but I know I need something powerful. So let me begin to associate with something that is powerful, more powerful than myself, that gives me some sense of identity, that gives me some sense of purpose, that gives me some sense of family, that gives me some sense of acceptance, right? And so we have a whole generation, and whether it's gangs, whether it's relationships that are illegal, that God has never ordained for our lives, whether it's, you know, drugs and alcohol, we're giving ourselves over to every single thing that could fill a void. But the only one that could fill the void that we have is God, because we came from him. We can't, you know, we came from him, right? And so because I came right out of him, the only thing that can fill me, the only thing that could satisfy me is him, you know? And you know, we spend our lives, you know, walking, going around the mountain or going around the wilderness for 40 years, just like the children of Israel did. You know, we're working every day. We're coming home. We, you know, doing what it is that the family needs from us, and then we're getting in front of the TV. We're having a weekend getaway, and then we go back to work on Monday. And we might go to church on Sunday and have a religious experience and clap our hands and praise the Lord and pay our tithes. But we realize that there's nothing that has changed in that whole 2 hours that we gave God on Sunday, because we're not giving him anything else throughout the week. And so God is saying that I want a people who will come aside from all of that. All of that will never take you anywhere. It will never cause you to know who you are. It will never cause your life to give him glory, which is what our ultimate purpose is. We all have different functions and ministries and anointings and callings, but the whole purpose of all of our lives is to glorify God. And so when we find ourselves going around a mountain over and over and over again, God can't be glorified in that. And so now he's saying, listen, come aside, you know, come aside from where you've been. Come aside from what hasn't satisfied you. Come aside from what isn't filling you. Come aside from what you know can never bring you to a place of prominence and power and blessing and fulfillment. Come aside from that and begin to seek my face in a greater way. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 29:2, it says that when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, the people mourn, right? And so we see wickedness in high places all around us. And I'm not pointing the finger at any individual. It's a system of wickedness that dwells in the earth. It's a whole system of unrighteousness that dwells in the earth. And because of that, there's a generation that is moaning, groaning, travailing. Even the Bible says that the whole world is travailing, groaning within themselves together, waiting on the manifestation of the sons of God. And so there's a groan within the world, and then there's a groan within the people of God. There's a mourning in the world, and there's a mourning with the people of God. But when you begin to look at it through the eyes of the fleshly eyes, you will see that as a bad thing. You will see that as, you know, a place that is unsatisfactory. But when you begin to look out of the eyes of the Spirit, the Word of God says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted, you know. Yeah. And so this God is allowing things to happen in the earth to cause a travail, a cry, a mourning, a groaning to come forth in our inner man, to come forth out of our spirit. And so what does that mean when I say mourn? I'm not talking about that you're somewhere sad, you're somewhere discouraged, you're somewhere downtrodden. You know, when you begin to look at what mourning means in the original Greek, it means to have a sense of loss that is so great that it feels like your whole world is coming apart. That you, I have a such a sense of loss. That so, as like one who I love dearly has passed away. There's nothing that consoled me in the natural. If you ever lost a loved one that was close to your heart, people could mean the world to you and have your best interest at heart. But because you love that person, there is a sense of you know, I just want to see them again. I know you said they're in heaven, and I know that you said it's going to be okay, you know, and I understand that you're trying to encourage me, but I just have a longing in my heart to see them again. That's what mourning means in the spirit, that I, that this loss that I have when I fail, you know, when Adam fell and began to eat and partake of what God had never ordained for him to partake of, and now he's separated from God and doesn't have the intimacy that he had with the Father, that sense of loss that he passed on from generation to generation. And when I was born, I entered into that same sense of loss. Now there's a mourning in my spirit because I'm recognizing what it is that I'm missing. I'm recognizing, you know, when you lose something, I've lost things before, and I didn't even know that they were missing, right? And so I'm like, you know, I didn't know that they were missing until I needed it. And so I'm like, okay, I haven't left the house in a couple of days. I haven't really needed my keys. But now that I need my keys, I realized that I lost them, and I didn't even realize that I lost them. Now I understand the importance. I have to go somewhere. I got to get on a road. Now I understand the importance of what I lost, and I begin to search for it diligently. Well, it's the same thing in the spirit, that you realize what it is that you lost from the beginning. You realize, even though, you know, I might have not needed it at that time that I thought that I needed it in, but now I have entered into another realm, and I understand the importance of what is missing in my life. And so now there is a great mourning within my spirit for the loss of the intimacy that I'm supposed to have with my God. And so now I'm finding myself crying out unto him. I'm crying out in the spirit because I don't even know what to pray for as I ought. But there's a Holy Ghost that lives on the inside of me that begins to groan and to utter with things that are unsearchable and begin to pray the will of God for me when I can't begin to pray for myself because his riches are so unsearchable. The depth of his kingdom is so great that I don't even know what it is that I'm supposed to be praying for. You know, but God is merciful and full of, you know, he has his our best intentions at heart, and he left us a guide, a comforter that dwells on the inside of us that will begin to intercede on our behalf. And so now I'm crying out in the spirit for the things that I know are missing. I don't know how I'm going to get it. I don't know when it's going to come, but I understand that if I cry out, that God will begin to hear me. And as my mourn begins to come up before God, he will begin to comfort me. And comfort doesn't mean that he's consoling me, that he's giving me tissue, that he's, you know, wiping away my tears. Comfort in the Greek means that one that walks alongside of you, that one that summons you unto himself. And so as I begin to mourn and cry out unto God for the things that I've lost in the spirit, God will begin to walk beside me and begin to summons me unto himself. He said, blessed are those that mourn. This is a blessed place that we're supposed to be in. that not a place that's downtrodden, not a place that we're full of discouragement, not a place where I don't know what's going on, that I'm somewhere weary, that I'm somewhere worried and fretting because of the things that are happening all around me. This is a blessed place that I'm in, because as I pour out everything that is in me unto my God, he begins to walk beside me. He begins to summons me unto himself. Yeah. He begins to say, Tarsha, I hear you. I'm with you. Yeah. I'm ever present with you. All the power that you have need of is with you. I've come, hallelujah, to give you something that you didn't have before. I have come. I heard your cries. I've seen your tears. I've seen how you beckon heaven for the condition of the church and the condition of those that are all around you. Now I have come to walk alongside of you that you may prevail, and that all of those that are connected in your world may prevail with you. And so this is where we are as a people in this hour, that God is calling us to understand where we are, where we've fallen short, but also where he wants to take us. You know, knowing where you've fallen short in is not a time for condemnation. It's a time to be accountable, right? It's a time to say, God, okay, I did not get this right. But I know that you never change your mind. Your counsel is immutable. Your purpose that you had before me, before the foundations of the earth, does not change because of my insignificance or my insufficiencies. You know, Jeremiah, after he got the word that God had ordained him to be a prophet unto the nations, he said, but God, I'm just a child. I can't speak. I can't go. I don't have the ability. I don't have the education. I don't have the pedigree. I don't have the network for me to do what it is that you're saying that I'm supposed to do. I'm just a child. And God says, say not in your heart that I'm a child. Say not in your heart, for I've ordained you. I've predestinated you in everything that you have need of to fulfill the purpose that I've predestined for your life. I am going to equip you with that. Yes, and it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the Spirit. And so we're really without excuse in this hour of going on, because everything that God is requiring of us, he's given us the ability to give it unto him. And so taking inventory of your life spiritually is a good thing. Hey, God, I feel short. I haven't been fasting like I'm supposed to be fasting. I haven't been praying like I'm supposed to be praying. I haven't been in my word like I'm supposed to be in my word. But your purpose for my life hasn't changed. So quicken me, strengthen my inner man. We have to begin to cry out to God, because we can't give him spiritual things out of natural strength. Right? My intellect, my knowledge, my education that I received, in natural universities and colleges, that doesn't do anything for my spirit, man. That doesn't bring me any closer to God. The only way we're going to be able to get closer to God and know him in the intimate way that he desires for us to know him is that we have to give him spiritual things. He said, present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, for this is your reasonable service. This is your reasonable act of worship, to present yourself before God. And so God is waiting for people to begin to present themselves all over again. And when we begin to do that, everything that we have need of to become the people that he's ordained for us to be is going to come forth for us. And then he's going to add every other thing that we have need of to survive in this life, because this isn't going to walk when you so far deep in the kingdom that he's not concerned about the things that you have to be concerned about to live and exist in this world. He said, I see the things that you have need of. Like I said before, I see that you have need of clothes. I see that you have need of food. I see that seek first my kingdom, and all of these things are going to be added unto you. Seek first my wisdom. Seek first my sovereignty. Seek first my rule. Seek first my authority. Humble yourself under all that I am. All of my, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. Not just the kingdom, but the kingdom and his righteousness. You know, the things that are God's standard of living, spiritual living. That's what righteousness means in that particular verse, is that I'm conforming my life to the standard that God says is acceptable unto him. And the only one that can make me righteous is God. Rules and regulation cannot make me righteous. Following the traditions of men cannot make me righteous. Just going to church and being a good Christian on Sunday cannot make me righteous. The only thing that can make me righteous is that I'm conforming to the standard of God's character and his holiness. So he said, yes. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else that we have need of is going to be added. And I believe that this is the hour that God has given us the ability to seek him, because he puts us in uncomfortable situations to seek him. He puts us in, you know, in trials and hardships so that we can cry out unto him. When Israel was under Babylonian captivity because of their disobedience, when they began to cry out unto God, God began to deliver them with a mighty hand. And he says that I am the one who raises up kings and kingdoms, and I am the one who brings down kings and kingdoms. But I'm looking for a people who will begin to cry out unto me. And when you begin to do that, the things that you see in the world that may be displeasing to you, I will begin to establish and remove and to build up and to bring forth and to conquer and all of the things that needs to happen so that he can have a glorious church. He's waiting before he can have a glorious church. He's waiting for a glorious individual to begin to cry out unto him. Before he can have a glorious body, we have to go into our secret places. You know, the Bible says that when you begin to pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They go in the synagogues and they go out and pray before men and try to have these long, eloquent prayers so that they can receive, you know, praises of men. He said they have their reward. But when you begin to pray, go in the secret place, go into your closet and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will begin to reward you openly. And when you begin to fast, don't be like the hypocrites, you know, who put on a sad countenance. And they appear unto men to fast so that they can receive the praises of men and so that they can say, hey, look how powerful such and such is. Man, they really pressing in. Look at how they're giving God. They're looking for the acceptance of men. Don't be like those. But when you begin to fast, you know, don't let your left hand know what your right hand do. Anoint your face and wash your face so that you don't appear unto men to fast. Do those things to God in secret. And when you do that, God will begin to reward you openly. And so this is the hour I believe that we're in, is that we have to begin to do those things secretly all over again. We did them in our beginning when we were excited about God, when God first saved us and we were a witness and couldn't nobody contain what it was that God was doing in our life. And we was witnessing to everybody on the job and everybody in our family and this and that and that. And somewhere along the way, because things haven't happened in the way that we thought that they should happen, at the time that we thought that they should happen, that we've lost our zeal, we lost our stir, we lost our excitement as a body. But God is saying, listen, get back to your first love. Get back to the things that caused you to grow in the beginning. Get back to losing yourself in the Word of God, that you spend hours upon hours upon hours in the Word, and the Holy Spirit begins to speak to you. It begins to uncover mysteries and keys and secrets to the kingdom that you didn't even know existed. Get back to that. Get back to turning over the plate. That food isn't even enticing to you anymore, because my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish the work. Get back to that. Get back to prayer. You know, when I begin, when you begin to bombard heaven and you begin to pray and intercede, not just for yourself and not just for what you needed to happen in your life, but you're praying for your family. You're praying for the people on the job. You're praying for the body of Christ. You're praying for your pastor. You're praying for the ministries around the world that you know are being attacked by the enemy because of the things that are coming forth righteously out of your spirit. You're praying and covering, you know, from the north, the south, the east, and the west. You're praying in every direction. You're praying for the government. You're praying for the school systems. You're praying for the young people that are you know, dealing with anxiety and depression and suicide and all of these things that are telling them that they're worthless and that their life is not worth living. You're praying for in every area so that God may begin to answer those prayers. You know, and I believe when we begin to see the importance of prayer and what it means, God needs a vessel. God doesn't just step out of heaven miraculously and begins to do things, you know, and just begin like he's a genie, you know, or some kind of mystical, magical force and just boom, 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 poof, poof, poof. He starts doing whatever it is that he wants to do. He has his own, he's, emboldened to his own word, to his own law. He uses earthen vessels, you know, and so he needs cooperation through us. He needs cooperation with us to be able to execute his will in the earth. And so he's saying, listen, I need a vessel to use. Will it be you? Will it be you? You know, the day you hear my voice, heart, not your heart. I need somebody who is ready to do the will of God. Will it be you? Will it be you? You know, and so, you know, he's looking for someone who will align themselves with what it is that he wants to do in this hour. And what I love about him the most, and I say this all the time, is that the things that men uses to qualify us or to put us on some kind of social standard of acceptance, to say that you're somebody in this world, God doesn't care about anything, any of that. He said he takes the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. He doesn't care about your resume. He doesn't care about your intellect. He doesn't care about your degrees. He doesn't care about who you know and who you don't know. He said, a broken and a contrite spirit I will not despise. He's looking for humility. He's looking for brokenness. He's looking for somebody who's saying, God, I don't know the way. Show me the way. He's looking for somebody to acknowledge him in all of their ways so that he can direct their path. He's looking for somebody who's saying, God, I know it's something that you want to do. Choose me. Send me. I'm ready. I'm willing. I want to go, God. I want to go, but I don't want to go in my own strength. I don't want to go in my own power. I don't want to go in my own will, because I know that even if those in Bible days went in their own flesh, in their own will, and they heaped among themselves the praises of the people, and it came to naught because you were not with them. I don't want that to be my testimony. I want my testimony to be like Paul, and to be like Silas, and to be like Peter, that God, you were with me. Everywhere that I went, every place that I put the soles of my feet, that you were with me, that you opened up every door that needed to be opened, and you shut every door that needed to be shut. And even when those tried to come against me and to refute what it was that you put in my spirit, you rose up with a strong hand and began to deliver me out of every circumstance of life. I don't want to go on my own just because I feel like that I'm supposed to be somebody in this earth. God, I want to be chosen. I want you to download the fullness of your kingdom on the inside of me, so that when I begin to open up my mouth, out of my belly shall flow rivers of living water. And those that are in my presence will be able to drink from that water. And they'll be like the Samaritan woman, that they'll never thirst again. That they'll never thirst again. And when they begin to drink of that water, even a greater revelation will begin to come forth. And they'll begin to know where it is that they're supposed to worship. That they're not worshiping at this mountain, nor in Jerusalem. For the Bible says that true worshipers, those that shall worship God, shall worship him in spirit and in truth. You know, and so that's who I want to be in this hour. One that allows God to flow through them. And one that allows God to download them with something that is supernatural. That the things that I'm reading in the Bible are not just good fables and good stories and good history lessons of things that have happened in the past. And there's no manifestation of power in this present day. God wants to manifest himself in this present day. He wants to come up off the pages and begin to write the new chapter in your life. He wants to continue the Bible in your life, the book of Tarsha. And people will begin to read in that and begin to be edified and begin to be encouraged because of what God is doing in my life and in your life. This is a plan of God. This is the will of God. This is a purpose of God. And the beautiful thing about it is that we don't have to depend on ourselves to get there. This kingdom is so deep, it's so wide, it's so vast that it almost seems overwhelming. But the Bible says that the deep calls unto the deep, right? Yes. And so if he's calling us higher, he's giving us a spirit to ascend. If he's calling us to go into a deeper place, he's giving us a spirit to humble ourselves and to get there. Everything that he's calling and causing and requiring of us, he's giving us the spirit to do it, because he said that we're made in his image and in his likeness. Yeah. And so I'm not depending on my own likeness to get me there. I'm not depending on my own DNA, my own will. He said that, you know, we're not made, or we haven't come by the will of blood or the will of flesh or the will of man, but we've come by the will of God. And so everything that God is requiring from a generation of people in this hour, and it's a remnant because the multitude will never hear it, right? The multitude will never hear it because their eyes are blinded. Their ears are itching for tickling things, for entertaining things. And so there is a remnant, but if you know that God is calling you, if you know that there's a longing within your spirit, you don't have to question within yourself, am I a part of the remnant? The longing within me for something greater than what this world has to offer me says that I'm a part of the remnant. I don't need my name to be written in a remnant book to tell me that I'm a part of the remnant. The groaning and the travail that is within my spirit that won't go away, that wakes me up in the middle of the night, that causes the Holy Ghost to come upon me and begin to stir and move on the inside of me when I'm minding my own business and going on about my day, that declares that I'm the remnant, that I'm the chosen, that I'm the preordained, the purpose, the elected, the called out according to the purpose of God. And when I begin to pay attention to that, God begins to give me the spirit of the fullness of the Holy Spirit in my life, and he begins to take me into realms that I didn't have the ability to go. You know, so I'm grateful for what God is doing in this hour. I'm grateful that I'm a part of it. I'm grateful that he's opening up the eyes of our understanding, that we may know what is the hope of our calling. Why am I called? Why am I chosen? Why am I living? Why am I on this earth? You know, why have you made me to know what I know, God? You know, what is it that I'm supposed to be doing before flesh drops off of me? All of these things are things that we have to begin to inquire of the Lord. And when we begin to inquire of God concerning how it is that this earthen vessel that God has chosen to cooperate with him, that his will may be established in the earth, when I begin to inquire of God how these things will come to pass, he will begin to lead and guide me in all truth. That's where we are in this hour, that we're being led and guided in truth. And listen, facts of this world are different than truth. Truth doesn't change. Truth, you know, a fact can say that I was 5'5" when I was 14 years old. And then I grew to 5'8" at 16. And now I'm 5 foot. I was 5'5" then, and I'm 5 foot. Those are both facts, even though they're two separate things. But truth doesn't change. It doesn't change. It doesn't change depending on the age. It doesn't change depending on the dispensation we're in. It doesn't change depending on where the church is or where the church is not. It doesn't change depending on who's obeying and who doesn't obey. The truth remains, and it's established forever. You know, and I thank God that we have the spirit of truth that is leading and guiding us in all truth, and it is showing us the way that we're supposed to go in this hour. And so I'm grateful to be here today. I'm grateful to be on this broadcast. I'm grateful that you've given me the opportunity to pour out of my spirit what God has imparted, because I understand that, you know, how can they hear without a preacher? How can they preach unless he be sent? You know, and our job is to cast seed in the field. Mm-hmm. God is the one who brings forth the harvest. God is the one who waters. You know, one planted, one water, God brings the increase. And we never know who is under the sound of our voice that may hear a word and that it might enlighten something in their spirit. There were many things that I heard this week from a man of God, a powerful man of God who's went on to be with the Lord, that enlightened something in my spirit. And I said, oh, my God, I never heard that before, but that resonated with me. And so you never know who may hear what it is that God has allowed your vocal cords to declare. But my job is just to be the voice. You know, God draws men unto himself as he will. Our job is just to be the voice. It's just to cry aloud and to spare not. And God knows how to bring a word into somebody's remembrance, to bring a word back up into somebody's spirit at the appointed time when they have a willingness to obey in a greater way. And, you know, this is the last thing I'll say. I remember when I was 18 years old, and I had a friend of mine who passed away. She was 18, and she got into a car. She had got into a car accident with her boyfriend at the time, and they had a very small baby child. And I was still in high school at this time. And it broke us, you know, all of our friend group. You know, we were just so distraught about what happened. And at this time, I didn't know God or what he had planned for my life or purpose or any of that. And so they had a memorial service at a high school, and we all went to it. And they had at the high school an altar call, a church, a ministry that came in, talked about God, talked about all of that. And they had an altar call. And I found myself never having even been in church before, prior to that, really, going to that altar and saying, God, this cannot be what life is. I cannot end my life at 18 years old. You know, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing, who I'm supposed to be, what I'm, you know, but God, help me. And I found myself crying out at the altar at that high school because of that situation. And at that time, they invited us to the church and all of that. And I didn't end up going because I, you know, for whatever reason. But just a few months later, somebody that I had went to high school with that didn't know this particular person but had been going to the Narrow Way at the time, which was, you know, Let's Go Higher now, invited me to the church. And I said, you know what, I think I'm going to go. And God, and I didn't realize that God was working then with that situation that happened. And when I went to that altar call, even though I didn't feel like I had the ability to obey God, when I had went down there, 3 months later, I found myself in a church receiving a visitation, shackles being broken off of my life, God reading my mail prophetically and showing me who I was. And so my whole point is that you never know who might hear your voice and the time that God, even though it might not seem like it's happening or they're receiving it at that moment, at another time, 3 months from now, 6 months from now, a year from now, that very word may come and find them. And they'll find themselves in a greater heart and obedience to say, yes, God, I'm ready. I'm willing. Help me. Whatever it is that you want to do, have your will. Let your will be done in my life. And so I thank God for you today, Pastor LaVall. I thank you for giving me the opportunity to share what it was that was in my spirit. You know, and I pray that whoever was able to hear it today, that it blessed them, and even those who didn't hear it, that it goes across the airways and begins to penetrate the hearts of people where they are and find them where they are, and this word will begin to form their world and show, give them a greater sense of purpose, because it's not Tarsha's word, it's what God has deposited in my spirit. So I'm going to turn it back over to you, but I appreciate you. I appreciate your spirit. And how humble you are and how loving you are and how you always give opportunity for the people of God to come in and share and to be a part of what it is that God is doing through you. So I honor you today, man of God, and I'll just turn it back over to you.
Amen, 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 and amen. Thank you so much, my sister, for allowing, Lord, the Holy Spirit to use you in this hour to minister to all of our needs. Hallelujah. And I know that word, you know, as the Bible said, you know, in the day that you hear my voice, harden not your heart, you know. Hallelujah. And I know that, boy, that heart was touched today by the word of God, that something was said, you know, even if it was just one word or one sentence or one statement that you said, you know, that blessed God's people, you know. And to God be the glory for all of that. My sister, if you could just take a few moments, you know, and just pray for the people in Radio Land, however God would see fit for you to do, and just pray for the people of God and even those who are not yet come to the knowledge of the free gift of salvation.
Amen. Well, Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, for who you are, first of all, and that you're in control of all things, and that you're sovereign, that you rule, that you reign, that you change not, that you're full of mercy, that you're full of grace, that you're full of truth. God, that the purpose that you have for our lives, Lord, that it was formed, it was created, it was fashioned before the foundations of the earth, Lord. And we thank you that we're a part of an eternal kingdom, God, that will never fade away, Lord, God, that establishes its power, and the power never fades, it never fails, it never falls to fall. And I just pray, God, for your people in this hour, God, all of those that are under the sound of my voice, Father God, that you will begin to draw your people closer to you, Father.
Yes.
You said that it is your will, it's your pleasure for us to know you. You said in your word that it will come a point in time that no man will have to say to his neighbor, know the Lord, for all shall know you from the least to the greatest. And it is your will, God, for us to know you in an intimate way, God. And, and we can't know you if we don't spend time with you. We can't know you if we don't become familiar with your ways, God. And so I pray that you would begin to draw us closer to you, Lord God, that you would begin to take away the distractions of this life, the things that want to rock us to sleep, that wants to numb our senses spiritually, and it calls us not to discern the times that we're living in, that you would take away all of those distractions, God, and that you would bring us to a place of seeking your face, Lord God, that we get lost in you, God. We get lost in seeking you. We get lost in crying out unto you. We get lost in prayer. We get lost, God, in being in your will, Father. God, I pray, God, that the plan and the purpose that you have predestinated for us before the foundations of the earth, God, that we will see the manifestation of it in our lifetime, Lord, that we don't have to be like the children of Israel, that their seed has to come into promise because of their disobedience, God, but that we will obey you, Lord God. God, as we hear your voice, that we will come into a spirit of obedience, God, and we will obey the things that you are requiring of us so that we may grow and that we may know you in a greater way, Lord God. I thank you, God, for what you're doing in the lives of your people, Lord God. I thank you, God, for how you are causing us, Lord God, to be strong in this hour, Lord God, and to be violent in our spirit, Lord God. Father God, to be one, Father God, who is acquainted with your ways, Lord God. And I just pray, Father, that you would just stir us up, Lord. Stir us up, God. Even like a washing machine begins to agitate, Lord God, and the stains begin to have to come to the surface. Stir us up, Lord God, begin to agitate our inner man, God, that the things, the impurities that are within us will have to come to the surface, God, and we will have to begin to deal with those things in the spirit, Lord God. And I just pray, Father God, that your will be done, God, that you would cancel out every plan of the enemy, Lord. Let not disease, God, overtake your people. Let not, God, bad health overtake your people, Lord. Let not sickness, I don't care what's going on in the land, God. Let not your people succumb to those things. For you said, God, that healing is the children's bread, Lord God. So I'm praying for divine health. I'm praying, Lord God, for wisdom. I'm praying for strength inwardly and outwardly. Lord God, I'm praying, Father God, that you will open up our eyes that we may see who we are and who it is that you've ordained for us to be. I'm praying, God, for a blessing, God, to find your people, Lord God, that we may first be a blessing to the kingdom of God and that we may be a blessing to all of those that are around us. I'm praying, God, for your perfect will to be done. For your perfect will to be done, God, and that you may be glorified through our lives, Lord God. Father God, and that you, Father, that as we yield to you, Lord God, as we obey you, Father God, that in every essence of our life, you will be glorified, Lord God, and that we may be a city that sits on a hill, Father God, that cannot be hid, Lord, that our light shines forth, God, and illuminates everything that is around us, Lord God, and those that are in darkness around us will not be able to stay in the darkness because of the light that is shining forth out of our spirits, Lord God. So I just pray for encouragement for those that are discouraged. I pray, Lord God, for a blessing for those that need a blessing and a miracle, God, for those that need a miracle. You are the God of miracles. You have supernatural power, Lord God, and then there is nothing that is too hard for you to do, Lord God, and I just give you praise and glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes, Lord. Amen, 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 amen. You know, the Bible said this is the confidence that we can have. If we pray the will of God, the word of God, then we can know that he hears. And if we know that he hears, then we can also know that we have the petition that we desire of him. So I just come in agreement with you in that prayer. You say, well, two or three of you should agree on it. Just touching anything, it shall be done. Therefore, I just say thank you to our Father in heaven, that every petition that was made known through your prayer, that he heard that because it's the will of God and the word of God. And hallelujah. Manifest his word. Hey, listen, there you are now. Time is about up now. And Evangelist Sharp, thank you so much for giving such a blessing to the body of Christ today and ministering the word of God to our hearts. And Lord, God's word is not going to return unto him, but it's going to accomplish that what he sent it to do. Listen, my wife, Gail, and I, we love y'all with the love of the Lord. I said, ladies, let's go high in ministry, love y'all with the love of the Lord, and pray God's best in your life. Father, be it unto us according to your word. Your kingdom come, your will be done. I like to pray. God bless y'all. Go to next week. God, we love you. Thank you again. God bless you and your family and everything that you do. Amen. Love you, radio audience. Look forward to next week.